B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome in and good morning, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynn, Sam Wilson with you today. And you have been talking about this thing, Trey, for it seems like every show we're on the air comes up at least once. But for whatever reason, it really is on my mind today, and that is mindset. Mm-hmm. And I feel like over the last, especially, 6 months, mindset has been a huge story in Philadelphia. When we talk about athletes and athletic ability and all that fun stuff, right? Really what matters is the player's mindset above all else. Because a lot of these guys, they actually have the same athletic ability. They can physically perform the same way. They might have Adonis-like bodies like Joel Embiid, who should be able to impose his will on anybody he wants to. But when it comes to mindset, the decision of whether or not to step it up to that next level evades some of these players. And this comes up today, most notably for me, for a guy like Joel Embiid, after a day where we debated at length what was going on with Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley and how they were talking about Joel Embiid and how he can have a good stat line like he did the other night and has had a bunch of times throughout the season, but he's not getting to that elite level of play. The elite level of play that would help you, for instance, in a game against the Bucks, in a game against the Celtics, in a game against the Toronto Raptors. And just so happens they have those Boston Celtics tonight in Boston at 8 o'clock. But it's the mindset of a player where he basically has to make that decision as to whether or not he is going to get up to that elite status. Now, us commoners look at that and say, well, wait a minute. If you have that ability to play at that high level, then go out there and play at that high level and do it every single night. Don't need a smile on your face in order to get to that high level of play. And that was the main criticism, and I do think fair criticism, thrown in the direction of Joel Embiid by Shaq and by Chuck. I think those are things that we had been saying for weeks, if not even years, on this program, getting to that level. Then you turn away from that for a second, and you go over football, and you talk about mindset in football. And Nelson Agholor tells the media, and we'll let you hear this a little bit later, but he tells the assembled media at his locker room yesterday that he's been dealing with this knee injury since week 5, I believe it was, against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Been trying to fight through that. Okay, I'll take it at face value for now. But when you look at Nelson Agholor, if that's his mindset to fight through an injury, then if you're willing to fight through pain, how come you don't see more of an effort from him on the football field itself? And the answer there, for me, is mindset. Because if he had a better mindset going into the game, he wouldn't be afraid of making plays for you. He wouldn't be afraid of going up to get footballs. He wouldn't be afraid. He would have better awareness on the football field as well. But he has good physical athleticism, obviously, as a professional athlete. But what separates him from the rest of the pack is, Trey, as you've been saying, he doesn't have that right mindset.
Uh-huh.
You even go into baseball. Rhys Hoskins seems like, I don't know if he's just been messed with his mindset and launch angles and all that stuff, and the Phillies trying to build a team around him as a four-hole hitter, and we've talked about the projected lineup as to what this Phillies team is going to look like next year. But you look at all that stuff, and it all has to do with mindset, mental approach to what they do. And I'm not even talking about the more serious stuff, guys that really deal with the mental issues of the game and guys that have to do with anxiety, like Brandon Brooks, for instance. I'm just talking about a player, their will and their want to make a play for their team. And Joel Embiid tonight, I want to see take that next step. In a big game, going up to Boston, taking care of business, 8 o'clock tip-off, I want to see him be able to take care of what he has to. If it's a smile on his face, fine. If that's what it takes, fine. Nelson Agholor, if he ends up playing this weekend, because we all know it's all must-win games, and Nelson Agholor hasn't been that guy to be the deep threat like we'd like him to, but around the line of scrimmage, he's pretty damn good. I'd like to have him there. I'd like to have him playing. We'll see if he plays. It's all going to be about mindset, because there is a national reporter who the other day, right here on this very radio station, he was on with Ty, as a matter of fact, because Mike's off this week, Sal Palantonio questioned that mindset more so than any of us have when it came to business decisions. And that athlete is Nelson Agholor. And I'd like to have him in this game against Washington. It'd be better to have him than maybe some of the other guys when it comes to playing around the line of scrimmage. And just when it comes to roster, just having a depth on your roster, it might even help to have him out there. But it's so much to do with a player's mental approach to the game. True. Why does it take some guys to put a quarter in order to get them to that level? Well, isn't winning and success enough of a motivation? And it's not like they're being underpaid either.
Well, because it's like, you know, that's some people need motivation, you know, and it was always explained to me that, you know, the two different things, because people are like, oh, inspiration and motivation. Oh, I need to be inspired. You need to be play motivated. When you're looking for motivation, and you're always looking for some outside influence, that can get difficult. You know, when it becomes to a player, because you're always looking for something to come and hit you and get you going, instead of being that type of person that has that inside drive to be the best at the game. So when you have that drive to be the best at the game, those are the ones that don't need that outside influence to come in and affect them. Those are the ones, like how you guys were saying earlier, like your Kobe's, your KD's, your LeBron James of the world. Those guys that's going to bring it every game because they're not looking for an outside influence to get them going. So that's a big difference, and that's why I always talk mindset. I even talk this with my son all the time about, man, your mindset has to always be on dominating, and you can't look for an outside influence. A song isn't going to get it for you all the time. You know, you're not going to be around here hoping to get into a fight with your girlfriend or something so that you can get going to go play a game. Just have that drive to just like, look, man, whenever I get up, I'm going to go out there and go whoop the man in front of me, and then that's that.
Why isn't that enough? Like, I mean, we're men, right? We're supposed to have this bravado about us, right? We're supposed to always want to win. And some of these guys just, they don't have that unless they're pushed.
Because this is my reaction. Confidence is a tricky commodity.
Mm-hmm.
When you have it and you thrive on it and all, it's great and it's unwavering. Like, I'm watching, it's funny you bring this up, because I'm watching Lou Williams last night, right? Okay. I'm watching the Clippers.
Sure.
And when Lou was here, he and I were very friendly and stuff, and I always said to him, man, you're a guy that's just never going to lose confidence. He's like, nah, I can shoot 0 for 25 in a game. I know the next game. But I'm serious. That carries him through, that confidence. Other people, no matter the level, and Trey, you can speak to this, you have it, but if you start to lose it, it's debilitating. I mean, and look, Joel Embiid, if he loses confidence in himself, it gets a little debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
Other players, Nelson Aguilar, I'm sorry, he's lost confidence in himself. It's gotten so debilitating, and jumping on what Sal Powell said, that he's maybe making business decisions of not playing now because it makes him look bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you with callers, Mark. Like, so a caller calls yesterday and calls you out, and you laugh it off and say, I don't care, I call myself an idiot every day.
Yeah.
Okay, when I first got in this business and people would call and bust on me, it hurt. And I was like, you know, wasn't used to it. Confidence was wavering. Then I realized, no, I back everything I say. I don't say things for takes. I really believe what I say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a confidence thing with athletes and the mindset like you're talking about. If you're unwavering, you're one of the greatest and you become the greatest. LeBron James never wavered in his confidence. But other guys get debilitated by it a bit. I wonder if Joel Embiid is kind of there and Nelson Aguilar kind of there.
Yeah, and I think the immaturity factor plays in as well, as you were saying yesterday, where maybe somebody pulled him aside after the Karl Anthony Towns bout and said, hey, look, just calm it down on social media and calm it down on the floor
and
a little
I
bit.
I said no.
You listen to me, Chief Beef. You let that man have fun. No, but but it's almost as if he did pout like a child would. Like, hey, don't ride your bike when I'm like, oh, I can never ride my bike, right? That type of thing. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, who is a mere commoner, a mere mortal, who can't get to that athletic level. If I had that type of talent, oh my God, you know how arrogant I'd be? You know how cocky I'd be?
Yeah.
But these guys, you're right, if they do get a little air out of the balloon, it might as well just pop it, basically, is what happens.
Sometimes, yeah. And we overlook it because we look at these guys, oh my God, like you just said, Mark, but no, there's a confidence level in there. They're going against the best every night, although they think they're the best. They're going against the best, and sometimes that confidence can waver.
Well, look at the Bucks last night, for instance. The Bucks get an opportunity.
They're really annoying.
But so I bring this up because, you know, we'll look at the Sixers and they might struggle without somebody. Like JoJo, they didn't play the other night. Ben Simmons stepped up, played amazing basketball. Granted, it was against the Cavs, right? By the way, there's a little side thing that I'm surprised, Jamie, you actually didn't bring up.
What's that?
From that Cavs game that I meant to bring. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But it has to do with more gossip than anything. but here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Bucks play last night with no Giannis Antetokounmpo. Eric Bledsoe steps up last night, scores 29 points. Like, a mindset of a player like that is, hey, the real stud's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. And he did that on 10 of 13 shooting and looked great in the game. Like, just, he looked great. You look at other players that might turtle up when in those big moments. A guy like Nelson Agholor, here is why I think that business decision theory makes the most sense. He's in a situation right now where he's been battling through this injury for supposedly since week 5.
Right.
And now, with all these other guys out, he might not play again on Sunday for an injury he's been dealing with for, what, 7 weeks, 8 weeks?
Cool.
This is the biggest, the most pressure-packed part of the season. And he's like,
cool.
My knee hurts.
Good.
But what is that? You have Greg Ward step up. You have Josh Perkins step up. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside step up. Those guys seem like they at least want the ball. Nelson Agholor, in the most pressure-packed part of the season, is going, hey, you guys take this one.
When I'm in that huddle, man, all I want to see are eyes that want to be in the huddle with me.
Right. Yeah, you know why? Mindset. It.
Yeah. And if he can't go, all right, fine. If that's where you are, cool. Even better. Because we don't need anybody that's in there that's going to be, you know, when it starts to go bad, you start limping a little bit more. You know, when if we're down, you're sitting over there talking to the trainer, trying to find a way out, trying to oh, surely something must be hurt. You know what I'm saying? Good.
Mm-hmm.
If that's where you are, good.
Yeah, I
move on.
I've been thinking about this with Nelson Agholor all season, and it's really what separates that Pinkston and Thrash, as we talked about yesterday, and guys that have been on this team. It's just the willingness to make a play. And I know now when people think about Todd Pinkston, they think about turtling up an alligator body against the Redskins on that Sunday Night Football game with Joe Theismann saying alligator body and all that. But for the most part, the guy just wanted to make a play, and mm-hmm. he could also track a ball with the best of them down the field. So that's something that I think a lot of people look back on and kind of forget because of that one play. But when you look at this receiving core, it really does just come down to willingness, want to, determination, and not being afraid to make that play in the big moment. There are guys, especially in basketball, that want that ball at the end of a game. When the time is ticking down and it's close, they want that ball at the end of the
Jimmy
game.
Jimmy Butler.
Same. He does. He wants that ball. That is the most alpha quality about Jimmy Butler, is that he wants that ball at the end. And that's, yes, that is something I miss a little bit. I do think other guys like Tobias Harris,
I think
he wants the ball.
Yeah, close to getting there. I think he wants it. I think he's about to start demanding it.
Yeah, I think so too. And you look at other guys in this city that might not have that want to and that get after it and want that ball at the end of the game. And Nelson Agholor certainly seems to be that guy. There's been multiple instances so far this season where you've looked at Nelson Agholor towards the end of the game and he hasn't been the guy to make the play. Probably the best example is against the Patriots in the back of the end zone. First off, that was earlier in the game. And then at the end of the game, where supposedly he hurt the knee further. He said that play against the Patriots is what hurt it further and is why he is in the situation that he's in now.
Yeah, and that, I'll tell you what, you get that label on you, like, you know, we're talking about now, and Trey said, I'm not looking in your eyes and seeing you want to be there. That's a bad label to have on you. I mean, that might be the worst you could have, right,
Absolutely, because, I mean, because cats see it. Everybody in that locker room sees that, and they're like, all right, cool. Hey, we move on. We don't want it in there. I'm just trying to say, when you see players like that, when they start becoming that type of guy where everything starts hurting when things go bad or when things start to go sideways, then you start moving away from them. You start distancing yourself from them because you just know that you can't depend on them.
Yeah, can it be contagious?
Well, it's not affecting the younger guys. It's not affecting Greg Ward. It's not affecting the other. It's not affecting Whiteside. They're like, hey, if he doesn't want it, I'll take it.
Yeah, I was going to say, younger guys have a lot to prove still, but somebody like an Alshon Jeffrey, I feel like it could be contagious.
Okay, that's
because
where
he's proven.
Right. But
and he's made money.
He's in the same category.
Yeah.
And he could also be in the same category because he's been targeted, along with Nelson Agholor, more so than the rest of these guys. And if you're missing on throws, if you become a malcontent and all that stuff, then yeah, those would be, then they become partners in their poor mindsetness.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So, because misery loves company.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're talking mopey with Joel Embiid at times. Like, those two are mopey because for some reason, I really think they blame Carson Wentz for some of their issues.
No one wants to go into work and start bitching about work to somebody that really enjoys the workplace. Like, so you find the person that also wants to bitch about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So that's where they could team out. Look, speculation, but still, this is what a lot of people are thinking here.
I think it's fair speculation.
Pretty much. But the other part of this is when you look at a guy that I think knows how to tap into his team. And we put this game before the Giants game. We put that game on Monday night. A lot on Doug Peterson, because we said this is the moment Doug is supposed to shine. If he can't do anything else, if he can't strategize well, if he can't game plan well, if he can't even call the right plays well in this game, the one thing he's supposed to do great, better than anybody, is have that emotional intelligence, which I know sounds hokey, but really that means you know how to tap into your players to get the best out of them. And Doug, after the game, gave a great, I'm usually not one to be like, oh, Doug really got after in the locker room after the game. That was a great post-game speech. This was a great post-game speech. Did you guys hear this? The Eagles do a great job of releasing this, although I wish they would release it after losses, too.
Yeah, I usually watch it every week. It is cool.
I assume the coach still addresses the team after a loss, right, Trey?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to see that. I'd like to see that from time to time. But they release it after the victory. And if you're a young player, or even an unproven commodity on this football team, Doug Peterson's a guy you want to run through a wall for. He goes out of his way to shout out Greg Ward. Now, a lot of times, coaches, they won't name names, because for the same reason a lot of people don't want to name names, even in a regular workplace, you don't want to leave somebody out. No, he's like, hey, how about our young guys today? Talks about Greg Ward, calls out Greg Ward, calls out J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, calls out Vitae for going over to play right tackle, calls out Boston Scott. And if the guys weren't already standing when you hear it, it sounds like a standing ovation for Boston Scott, and rightfully so. And then he calls out Sidney Jones, who made a huge play in this game, and then goes over.
He's back, baby. And
look how excited you are. Goes over and he hugs Sidney Jones. If you don't want to play for Doug Peterson over the next three games, look, we challenged him before the game. We said he's got to have the guy, he's got to be the guy that knows how to motivate these players towards the end of the season. He's got to help get these guys going again, right? Yeah, that's a guy you want to play for, because they seemed, especially in that second half, they seemed motivated to play. Oh, and also he called out the defense for almost saving their hide in that second half. Like, he acknowledges those guys that seem like they are really putting forth that effort and taking advantage of every opportunity. That's how do you not want to play for that guy?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you want as a player. You want first of all, you don't always need a pat on the back, but it is good when you go out there and you do something well that you get acknowledged, especially in front of everyone. And a lot of these guys, most of their issues, it's just the mindset and the confidence. We all know that Sidney Jones, he probably has the ability, but it's his confidence and being able to make the play. So you put him in a situation where, you know what, he came down there, made a big stop for you. I mean, that's all you needed for him. Now, you never know what that'll do for him moving him forward, because you know that it was all mindset anyway that was holding him back. That's what made him so nervous when he got into the game. And then that was like, oh, he's in a really good place right now, because you know, he was a little shook from what happened.
Yeah. All that swagger, looking for it again.
Exactly.
I hear what you say about him going after the young kids and doing all that right and everything, and that's
pumping up the young kids, yes.
Is it done more so because he lost two veterans, pretty much? I mean, Alshon Jeffery doing what he did with the leak in that to, what's
Justine
her name?
Anderson.
Yeah, Justine Anderson. That's the sign of, like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Why would you do this to this organization? You're doing it to the organization. You're doing it to the coach. And now, as we talked about, Nelson Agholor, is he a Doug Peterson guy? I mean, if he loves Doug Peterson and wants to go through the wall for Doug Peterson, right. I think he'd be out there playing.
Yeah, I think.
So I hear you.
He's checked out, though.
Well,
like he's a free agent that knows he's not coming back.
All right.
You know what it is?
You know, that's. That's bad on some people,
It's almost like in baseball when they say they keep their best prospects at the AA level for a little longer than they should be to keep them out of AAA, where there's some malcontents, some guys that feel like they've been screwed over by the organization. like Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor are two guys that have been around long enough. Well, maybe they feel like they've been, I don't know, you shouldn't feel like you've been looked over or passed over, not at least by management who paid you some money here, but maybe by the quarterback. So maybe they've been there long enough where they could develop that bitterness.
Yeah, maybe
but you won a Super Bowl. What's
maybe
the problem?
It brings out the best in Doug too. Yeah. You know, like seeing what those two are doing or supposedly did or supposedly doing. Maybe it brings out the best in Doug. Say, you know what? I got to get these young guys to really play hard for. And maybe that, like you said, Mark, maybe that is his strongest point as a coach.
I feel like amongst again us commoners. Between us and professional athletes, Trey, I feel like the biggest difference from us is not the money what most people focus on. It's the mindset. Mm-hmm. Because when we start thinking about it as these mere mortals that we are, when we start thinking about it, we go, well, man, how do you choose to play when you're on that stage? How do you choose not to play when you're on that stage? How do you choose not to be motivated on that stage when you are getting paid? And this is where the money comes in. When you are getting paid that much money. Like, when we think about it, we think, oh, we loved playing when we were growing up. How do you not love to play the game? Wish I had your talent. And people forget about the work that has to go into it as well, because they just see the success at the NFL or the NBA, whatever it might be. And that mindset is what separates, I think, most of the common people like myself and then the professional athletes. I think that's the biggest difference. And the approach to the game and how you can be selective about it is something that will always baffle someone like me. And that has never been more true than right now. When you look at Joel Embiid, when you look at Nelson Agholor, and even if you go to baseball and you look at a guy like Rhys Hoskins and his approach at the plate and his launch angle, whatever it might be in his head, like, it's just something that we can't really comprehend because we're just not in that world. We might try to apply it to our everyday life, but to have that kind of talent and ability at something and choose when to flip that proverbial switch will never make sense to the common man. I think it's the biggest separator between, the mere mortal and the professional athlete. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We'll get a little bit more on the X's and O's of that Sixers matchup a little bit later on in the program. Talk a little bit more about Joel Embiid, more about that Bucks game. We'll let you hear Doug Peterson in the Eagles locker room, as well as Nelson Agholor, and give you some Phillies news, because Anthony Rendon, he signed himself a healthy little contract with the Angels yesterday. It came out the late afternoon, early evening, that he was having talks with the Angels, and then before you know it, bada boop, bada bing, he's an Anaheim Angel. So there's that.
Yeah, good. Bye. Out of the NL East. See you later. You made the Nationals worse. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's positive.
That's a very good thing.
And then on top of that, the Chris Bryant rumors.
Oh, baby, I'm horny for Bryant. What?
So what? What just happened here?
What?
I swear to God.
More baseball analysis from Jamie Lynch as the show goes on tonight. But the Chris Bryant trade rumors are starting to heat up a little bit.
I think there's something real to all this.
Here's the thing. John Middleton, as we all know, is not a patient man. He does not want to. He knows what's. He's smart enough to realize that you can't just make one or two acquisitions and be like, we're going to win the NL East. Yeah, we're good to go. He's like, no, I want to compete now.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this yesterday because we're having a little work done in the house, so I needed to get Skylar out for a nap in the stroller. So I did a huge walk. I probably walked like 3.5-4 miles.
I saw you had her on the swing.
Yeah,
you had
first her on time the on park. Swing. Big day,
dude. That looked amazing.
It was great. So I was eating up all the MLB offseason stuff. I was reading the Olney reports, the Heyman reports. You know, Madison Bumgarner, what he's looking for, yada yada yada. And I started thinking about it. And if you're Matt Klentak, if you're a realist. If things don't drastically improve this year, you're fired and you know it. So what's to prevent him from doing something major in a trade? Like, is he really going to be concerned with a Bryson Stott prospect?
No.
Because guess what? He may never see Bryson Stott's fruits bear at the major league level. So to him, it's like, well, hell, I got to push all in, because if I don't, I'm fired. So that gives me a lot of hope about what they have up their sleeve.
Here's the fact that they got secretive contract extensions during spring training last year.
That was weird. Yeah.
But it just makes me think that they got a lot more rope than we thought.
And I think this year it ends, though.
I think if John Middleton's telling you, I don't give a damn about the luxury tax, as a GM, you got to be like, all right, I can do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
And I also think they bought themselves some time by firing Gabe Kaplan. Mm-hmm. We were wrong. All right, all in jokes. Here we go. I think it's a restart.
If this season ends like this past one did, I think the pitchforks will be out and the public will be knocking on the door saying heads need to roll. And I think John Middleton has shown you that he listens to the fan base.
He listened to a Todd Zielecki poll to get Bryce Harper.
So
that's what decided it.
I think Klentak knows this could be his last year if things don't drastically improve. So I think he's going to be very aggressive.
Hey, I always want someone to have to sit on the edge of their seat and have that seat be a little on the toasty side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Could be a good motivator.
With Middleton, contract extension, I don't know. I want to say yes, but I think it might extend past this year.
I don't know.
All right, we'll get to it more. Also, I want to let you hear from Doug Peterson in the locker room after the Eagles win on Monday night. And then, Trey, you're going to break down some trench talk for us at 7:30. Yeah. Look forward to that. 610-632-0975. Oh, we got Coach Mike. We got Mike and Del Ran. Open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up, you'll hear from Doug Peterson, whether or not you want to run through a wall for that guy. Time of the Fanatic is 621.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Jamie, I can't believe you missed this. And we'll play Doug Peterson in one second. The Ben Simmons great game against the Cavs. I think it was the first break in the action. He had a driving layup. They call timeout. He goes to run out. Passes Tristan Thompson. Gives him a little slap in the butt. As if to say, hey, Kardashians, am I right?
What up, Kardashian, bro? Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. There's a little good hustle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is Tristan still with Chloe? Is she taking him back for like the 17th time?
When I walk back and forth through the living room, my wife has the trash TV on.
Yeah.
When Toots has got that on, I look at it and I just like, I think I just heard that they're trying to get back together. I'm not sure. That what she watches literally makes me so angry. I'm not even kidding. When my wife watches, it pisses me off.
My wife watches a lot of serial killer and cold case stuff.
That's interesting.
That's good.
Yeah. No, my wife
say
is
yes
watching.
The dress blows.
Okay, yes, thank you. All right, that sucks.
Oh my God.
And what else? I'll tell you what else sucks. Yeah, say yes to the dress.
Yeah, it's these people going to buy wedding dresses, and they make a show out of it.
Hmm.
And the shows are the shows are titled. I just realized this the other day. Like it started, and Donna's watching in the other room, and I walk in, it says like something triumph over tragedy or something. I'm like, it's girls buying wedding dresses. How can you have a theme to every damn show?
Well, no, it depends because these people are literally just old rich women yelling at each other, and like you want to watch that.
Yeah, right?
And, like, I don't get, like, it gives me agita is what it gives me, walking in and out of the room. Let's get to Coach Mike. Coach Mike, Northeast Philly, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
I want to discuss a little bit about mindset and how it works from a neuroscience perspective.
Sure, all right.
That's cool with you guys.
Yeah.
So when we talk about mindset, basically what we're saying, mindset is what your mind is set on. And the science behind it is this. Like, if you look at an atom, like an atom and molecule, the human brain is only able to see 1% of the entire picture. In other words, 1% of an atom is an actual particle. But 99% of it is just space and energy.
Okay.
And let's use another term for space and energy. We'll just call that potential.
All right.
It's the same for the way we see ourselves. We're only able to see 1% of who we really are as opposed to our full potential. Our mind gets fixed on it. And what I'm about to share with you will explain why it's so hard, and not impossible, for many people to get themselves out of slumps.
All right.
to change behavior patterns. There are 42 billion bits of information that are happening every given second around us. Out of that 42 billion bits of information, the human mind is only able to take in 2%. The 2% that we take in is always going to be what we believe. So if I believe that on a scale of 1 through 10, I'm at a 7, I'm never going to be able to see things that go beyond me being a 7.
So that is fascinating.
What's that?
I said that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. And this is why we stay stuck. Because if I believe I'm at a 7, I may catch the ball, I may hear the crowd roar, I may hear the coach tell me I'm amazing, but I'm going to interpret that as, you know what, they only feel bad for me. So unless I learn to change the way I believe about myself and what I believe about myself, and this is not something that happens rarely. I mean, it's very common that we're able to do this, but it's a lot easier when we have someone guiding us. Because if I see myself a certain way, I'm going to consistently get the same results over and over again. And with a guy like Aguilar, who is constantly being reminded of who he is, both through the fans, through the media, and most importantly, through his own play, it's going to be very hard for him to break that cycle. And when push comes to shove, and he's got a contract on the line, it's better to fake that injury and not get out there and play than to go ahead and prove that he's only a 7 out of 10.
Oh, it's unfortunate, but it makes sense. Coach Mike, what do you coach?
I work with professional athletes. I have a lot of guys in the NFL. I have a lot of professional fighters, and I work with CEOs of large companies.
I feel better off. This is how we should start our day every day, Mike. Awesome. Coach Mike, thanks for the call, buddy.
CoachMikeRosenfeld.com.
Why not? Yeah, sure. Yeah, no worries.
Awesome. We'll have to check
there we go.
That was pretty cool.
7%. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
It's like going outside your own comfort zone. Like you try to go outside that a little bit, you get outside that 7%. I like it. I like it a lot. You know what? Let's go to another guy that I'm sure has just as much insight. Our good buddy
Mike. Profound.
Mike and Del Rey. That's all I'm concerned about. What's up, Mike?
Mike?
His brain's in a pretzel.
All right,
Coach Mike broke him.
What if Coach Mike and Coach Mike and Del Ran are the same person?
I just see Mike and Del Ran driving right now, scratching his head like I was just doing. Like,
Mike is seeing right now 5%.
All right, but here's you're talking about mindset. Here's his promise. Doug Peterson yesterday in the locker room. Now I cut this down a little bit just because I mentioned earlier that he had given shout outs to some of the younger guys like Greg Ward, like JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Sidney Jones. He gave a shout out. He even hugged Sidney Jones. Big V was another one. Here's Doug Peterson trying to get those guys, you know, get their attention again after the win Monday night.
I've been around a long time in this league, player and a coach, and I can't tell you that I've seen a team hang together like we did all night long. All night long. The way you guys battled offensively through adversity. We lost a couple more guys tonight. Through adversity, you hang tough. Our young guys stepped up. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Defensively, my hat's off to you guys. The way you guys kept this team in there all night long. Okay? All night long. And you fought, you battled, you hung in there. All we said was we need to be 1-0 and get one. And get one. Our goals are right here in front of us, guys. You just got to believe, and you believe tonight. You got it done. I'm so proud of this group. Coaches, players, everybody for battling. Man, this is a great win. I'll tell you what, great win. Okay, great win. We talked about having passion. I saw the passion. We talked about playing together. Well, we sure did play together. And guess what? We had a lot of fun tonight, didn't we?
Yeah.
We sure did. That's what wins do. Now we just got to start stacking them together. Okay? Start stacking them together. Keep believing. Keep fighting. We'll get this thing done. Because BG, what? We ain't done.
Yeah!
How do you not want to play for that guy?
You got to be fired up. You got to be fired up. Gotta be. How could you not?
You gotta stack the wins, Trey.
Stack the wins. Stack them.
Look, I, as much as I want to buy into drama and all that stuff, like, I love hearing that. What's happening? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, my friend, the time is raise the roof and have some fun.
They had the passion all night long?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
That's what it seems like.
That's what he said, yeah. He said it was happening all night long.
Play on, play on.
Everybody sing. Everybody sing.
Does Lionel Richie go a little Jamaican fake accent?
Just
this?
a little bit.
Right? Yeah.
I believe the correct way to answer that is y'all mom.
Right by the beach.
I think he's stealing some Jamaican valor. That's messed up, Lionel.
Lionel Richie does steal Jamaican valor.
Yeah, oh, script. Man, Lionel stealing Jamaican valor.
You know, you don't hear us.
Yeah. All night.
God damn if he doesn't make your toes tap, though.
So this is what Doug was bumping.
Probably.
I'm going to go in here and talk to these guys. Get me there, Lionel. Get me there. Let's go.
They sprayed a little soul glow in his hair on the way home. Yeah.
Guys brought it.
He does look like Eric LaSalle.
Totally looks like Eric LaSalle. Is this
are
breaking news?
Are they not the same person?
I think they are.
Yeah.
You know, let's get Coach Mike back on the phone. We'll ask him. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. More up the music alley. You'll enjoy this.
Yeah,
because
man.
Why? A guy was born today, and I love this man. All right. I became a fan of him in probably the weirdest way. And I'll tell you how that happened in a second. Also, we'll let you hear from Nelson Aguilar coming up in a little bit here at the top of the hour, what he had to get into. Also, at 7:30, we'll talk to Mike Kern, our good friend Mike Kern, the Colonel himself, will be joining us.
He was watching Tagger yesterday.
He probably was.
Yeah, he was watching a little bit.
Was he watching him at that given time? Yeah. I don't know.
They didn't ask me to go Australia, but I don't care. You know,
can you imagine an Australian talking to Mike Kern? I want to hear that conversation.
I have an accent.
You know, we never, we'll get to it later. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 6:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E.
There it is, Trey. You want to talk music? This is the music I grew up on, my friend.
Okay.
B-E-L-L-S. I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells.
There he is.
Where's Francis?
Jingle bells,
there we go.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride
in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
This song is what made me a Sinatra fan.
Okay.
Of all the amazing music that he put out over the course of his life, an amazing career, this is the song that made me go, wait, who's this guy?
Really?
My grandmother gave my brother and I an 8-track. In probably 1988, I was like 6 years old, 6 or 7, whatever. And it had like 4 albums. And it was like the War of 1812 overture. Donnie and Marie Osmond sing the hits.
Still have it.
Kiss, greatest hits.
Yeah,
Kiss, greatest hits.
Beth, big song was Beth. Beth, I hear you calling.
And it had Frank Sinatra Christmas album on the 8-track player. And my brother and I listened to it on like constant. Now, this is the part coming up here. That little jingle bells, I was like, wait, huh? You can do that? You don't just sing the words that are there? And that hooked me. From that point on, I was a huge Sinatra fan because of this song.
My mom would melt. You know when he sings New York, New York?
Oh.
And towards the end, he goes, and he growls the word and.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. It was orgasmic for my mother. And I feel weird saying that, but she's been dead for a lot of years. So
yeah, you should feel weird saying that.
I feel weird hearing it.
She would sit in a chair and melt when she would hear that part of the Sinatra New York, New York.
And today is Francis Albert Sinatra's birthday. Happy heavenly birthday.
Wait, you share a middle name with him?
No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, was that an accident?
It's a total accident. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Sinatra would refer to that on tour every once in a while.
I hear there's this young up-and-comer, Mark.
Arzetta. No, he referred to a really specific Italian dish once on stage. And that, like, made an uncle of my Uncle John, like, even a bigger fan. There's a thing called, we called it Minest.
growing up, and it's like an Italian stew.
Yeah.
With scroll and like usually spicy Italian sausage and beans, whatever. It's the greatest thing
you
ever.
Had me at spicy sausage.
Yeah. Oh, dude, don't
spicy
even. Sausage, it's like a stew, right? And he referred to it. He was going over like Tommy Lasorda's mother's house.
In Norristown?
Yeah. Like after a concert at the Spectrum. And he's like, I'm going over Mama Lasorda's for greens and, or for Minest. For you not Italians, it's greens and beans. And my uncle's like, this guy's the greatest thing ever.
Did they refer to the Latin casino? In the Irishman?
I don't remember.
I thought my son Bobby said something that he said something that there was Cherry Hill scenes in it, and because that's where the Latin casino was.
Okay.
Cherry Hill right across from the racetrack. I was just wondering because Sinatra performed there one time, and my mom was a huge fan. My dad got the Daily News because he worked at the Daily News to get him and go cover it.
Oh, wow.
And my dad didn't like Sinatra.
What?
Personally or professionally. So he goes to interview Sinatra after the concert.
Oh, jeez.
Tells Sinatra that his wife's a huge fan. Sinatra says, bring her back. My dad looks him straight in the eye and goes, no.
Let's try our boy Mike in Delran. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You know what? I don't know. I was all pumped up riding to work and pissed off, and now I just don't know if I'm motivated. I don't really have the right mindset anymore.
But, Mike, like, seriously, you're the huge sports fan that you are. Can you comprehend someone having that athletic ability, whether God-given or just working their ass off, and they get to the biggest moment, and they're like, nah, I'm good.
What happened when he cried after Leonard hit the quadruple doink? What did he come out and tell us? Right? What did he say he was upset about? And now you're not even 2 months into the season and you're just saying, no, I'm not motivated. I'm just sick and tired of it. That's not a good excuse. I can't use that today at work if I decide not to do something. Somebody gets hurt. I wasn't really motivated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I heard you say one time that people always point to the money, but guess what? It's that big of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every year that I come to work, Bryce Harper's making that in a week, right? And this is just how sports works. So with that comes the territory of, I don't know, who's your audience when you say that? Is it the reporters? Is it other players? Because it sure as hell better not be me as a fan, right? There's a police officer in New York that lost his life this week, 15 years on the force, left 5 kids right before Christmas. Those 5 kids have no dad now. You think he wasn't motivated every day?
He's got to
do what he's got to do. Don't give me that, Joel Embiid. He's very slowly starting to irk my nerves, and I'm starting to like him less and less. This entire city stood by you when you were hurt for 2 seasons. They stood by you during every single struggle. They celebrated for you. I was at that playoff game when he did the windmill dunk. There was like 19, 20,000, whatever it was, people that would go run through a wall for that dude that night. And to come out and to tell me in the beginning of December that you're not motivated, get bent. I don't want to hear it. Go Birds.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, man. But really, yes, the money plays into it, a big factor, obviously, but what starts it off is just the mindset of whether or not you want to accomplish the ultimate goal and deciding whether or not to get after it. And people will look at that and go, how is that your mindset? And then they'll shift to the money. When you have that stage and that money, how do you choose whether or not to play at that elite level? And ultimately, that's what Shaquille O'Neal and that's what Charles Barkley were talking about. Not just being a good player. We know he's a good player. Look, one thing you could tell from a stat line is whether or not that's a good player or not. Yeah, good. But when you watch the game, it's taking what they did in that game and applying it to, for instance, what a guy like Ben Simmons can do against a team like the Cavs, right? And saying, all right, well, that's great. But can he do that again against the Celtics? Can he do that again against a team like the Bucks, who just blew the doors off of who they play last night? I can't remember. But Eric Bledsoe went off for 29 points last night.
New Orleans,
yeah, they play. Who's coming into town tomorrow night?
And interesting rumor out there that I couldn't help but kind of smile at because I was kind of pinned as the JJ hater for a while. New Orleans is willing to listen to offers for J.J. Redick already. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Are you saying this because you want him back?
No. Okay. Well, actually, if he was like a seventth man off the bench, sure.
Okay.
I'll take that shooting over.
Yeah,
they're paying money?
I just don't want him as a starting five offense run.
No, that's not going to happen.
Just to get that out of the way, nobody should want that.
Yeah.
Just to
make sure. As a seventh man off the bench that can shoot the lights, sure.
Yeah, all right.
But I'm not giving up anything substantial.
I'm with you. I'm with you there 100%. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Here's the other part of this. When people look at the money and they look at the stage and they look at the talent level, that's the thing that will also plays a huge factor here. is that if you had that, because we all played sports growing up. I mean, what, 99.9% of sports fans, they played a little bit growing up, right? There was a love for the game. There was an enjoyment of the game. But there might not have been a big talent level that went along with it. And there certainly wasn't a big paycheck that went along with it. So you think about going back to that time as a kid and applying that to you in your everyday life. Like, that's how you earn your money now. There's a huge separating thing there. But
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.